is move item 27 up to the next item after we hear from Mr. Robbins, who has one comment he would like to make.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the commission and the public, earlier this week I submitted a written request to Commissioner Bowman, and I think this is a timely point to discuss it. But we've just had a rather vigorous discussion on some of the complexities in the management of the blue crab resource, and I think we're at a point in our history that's fairly critical. We're dealing with a resource that's not responding very well to management. I think it's clear that at this point it would be appropriate to initiate a review of our management of that resource. For 10 of the last 11 years, the abundance has been below long-term averages. If I may, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just read this letter into the record.
Sure.
The Chesapeake Bay Commission's 2006 blue crab status report raises substantial concerns regarding the status of the baywide blue crab population. For nearly a decade, the blue crab population has been at a relatively low level of abundance, and in recent years, the population has not cycled as it did in the past. The past decade has also seen the implementation of significant regulatory changes by the VMRC, including an 8-hour workday, sanctuary expansions, and other regulatory modifications. In addition to fishing pressure, the blue crab population has been subjected to adverse environmental conditions, including large areas within the bay with low levels of dissolved oxygen, catastrophic eelgrass losses in 2005, and possible stresses associated with the recovered striped bass population. Despite the extensive regulation of this fishery, in 7 of the past 8 years, harvest pressure, as measured by the exploitation fraction, was above the target rate that would conserve just 20% of the spawning stock. And in 5 of the past 8 years, the exploitation rate was above the critical threshold that would conserve a minimal 10% of the spawning stock. The baywide blue crab population has remained at levels below the long-term average for 10 of the past 11 years. The new data presented in the report raise questions regarding the effectiveness and sustainability of the current blue crab management plan. I believe the seriousness of these biological concerns warrants a de novo review of Virginia's blue crab management plan and regulations. And I hereby request that the Commission undertake a comprehensive review of Virginia's blue crab regulatory and statutory management measures. I submit that the process should begin with an independent scientific review of Virginia's blue crab management plan, evaluating the intent and effectiveness of each management measure, as well as the consistency of each measure with the bi-state management goal of doubling the blue crab spawning stock and the Commission's statutory obligation to manage the population for optimum yield. To that end, I recommend that the Commission impanel a broad group of independent fishery scientists to initiate the review. While the data indicate that the blue crab population is at a relatively low level and raise questions over the sustainability of recent exploitation rates, the impacts of environmental factors may be less well known but should be considered and addressed. Adverse exogenous factors, however, do not foreclose the Commission from meeting its statutory responsibilities to manage the blue crab stock for optimum yield. The best available scientific data suggests that some degree of management reform may be necessary to restore the blue crab stock and fishery to a healthy level and indicate the need for a review of Virginia's blue crab management plan.
Thank you, Mr. Robbins. Appreciate
Thank
you. That. Okay. Keeping with what Dr. McConaughey suggested, it's right on time. Thank you.
In order to act on that, Mr. Chairman, would you like a motion?
That would be fine.
Mr. Chairman, with that in mind, I would move that the Commission initiate such a review.
Dr. McConaughey, second. Mr.
Yep.
Fox,
second.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, we'll move up item number 27, request for emergency regulation and public hearing to establish alternative methods for complying with certain summertime oyster harvest restrictions related to public health. Who's handling that from the fishery? Jim? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Yeah, to get Elder Weber on his way, I'd like him to give the background, and then we can get into the...
That would be fine. Mr. Delegate, good to have you here, sir.
Mr. Bowman, members of the Commission, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. I'll be very brief. Where Virginia is we are potentially, well, we operate under the National Shellfish Sanitation Program. Within that program, there is a requirement that states that have two or more cases of disease of Vibrio vulnificus from the ingestion of oysters from 1995 on, which means the clock continues to tick, will have to put in place a Vibrio vulnificant management plan. Now, we have one case, so we are on the precipice of having to be under that plan. where we are is the plan requires that collectively the United States meet a 40% illness reduction goal by 2006. Now, collectively, the United States has met that. The diseases are counted in four states, California, Texas, Louisiana, and Florida. Now, California has a ban on Gulf shelf stock during the summertime, so they have zero cases. Where we are now is that by the end of the year 2008, the United States has to collectively meet a 60% illness reduction goal. Last year, with the number of illnesses, we've only reached a 36% illness reduction, which essentially means we're going to have to reach an extraordinary number, somewhere near 80% in the following year, in order for these states that are have two or more cases to come under essentially some fairly draconian measures. And that is, if we don't meet the 60% illness reduction goal, those states that have two or more illnesses will have to put in place one of six regulatory measures. That is, you will close your shellfish harvesting for oysters from May through October, period. You will only allow shucking of oysters harvested from May through October, or you will only allow post-harvest treatment of oysters through May to October. Virginia only has one certified post-harvest treatment facility for the whole state. The other three requirements are based on water temperature, the same three requirements but based on a 75-degree water temperature as the start. Where we are is in a situation to be proactive. If we have one more case from now into the future, we will join that club, and we will be at the mercy of the Gulf states that are now driving this. That's where the cases of disease are occurring. What we want to try to do is to avoid that. We believe that we can give ourselves a good chance to avoid that, keep our shellfish in the marketplace during the summertime, whereas right now the Gulf product in the state of California and potentially some other inland states are not in the marketplace, and we can avoid these potential draconian measures if collectively the United States doesn't meet this goal come the year 2008. So what I've worked with the staff is to come up with a set of recommendations as to how we can best give ourselves a chance not to get another case. Now, there is a risk assessment model that we can put these numbers into, and this greatly reduces our chance. I want to emphasize, it doesn't reduce our risk to zero. The only thing that will do that is just not harvesting oysters. But we believe that this gives us an extraordinarily good chance to avoid that second case, avoid us literally getting into this club and then being faced with these draconian measures come 2008. We believe we have the opportunity to be able to do that. So that's the basis for these recommendations. There have been a number of meetings with FDA. Regardless of what the thought is on the merit of this requirement, the reality is we have to deal with it and we have to comply with it, and FDA is going to assure that we comply with it if we get the second case. That's just for Vibrio bonificus. There's a whole other set of requirements for Vibrio parahemolyticus that we have to go through, and we, again, are avoiding that, but on the precipice of that. These controls will, we believe, increase our chances of not getting enough additional cases of Vibrio parahemolyticus to be under a management plan, or additional cases of Vibrio bonificus to avoid being under this management plan. So that's what we have worked on, and the proposed regulation that you have before you today is based on that effort.
Any questions for Mr. Delegate while he's here? It's almost like pay me now or pay me later. It's not, I mean, you know, I don't, quite honestly, we don't have a whole lot of options then, do we?
Well, you know, we sort of looked at it and said we can go two ways. We can wait, and we believe it's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. It's an issue of exposure. And, you know, the aquaculture industry with oysters is beginning to take off. We heard some numbers yesterday from Mike Osterling. There's a significant increase in the number of oysters that are aquacultured. This is purely an issue of exposure. The more oysters we have in the marketplace, especially those that are marketed during the summertime, the more likely it is eventually somebody will get that second case of Vibrio bonificus. By the way, just from a number standpoint, I went before the national organization in March. They actually had six cases of illness designated to Virginia. Now, where we are is five of those cases of illness included shellfish from other states, so they couldn't say that Virginia was there alone. But remember, we were involved in those, so if we are in a situation, you know, previous to that time where the restaurant couldn't determine which tag came on which bag from the person that ate, you know, we may already be in the club. We want to see if we can avoid that by putting in place these time temperature restrictions to make sure that we can stop the growth. We can't do anything about the levels of Vibrio when it comes out of the water. But if we can stop the growth when it comes out of the water, we give ourselves a very, very good chance of succeeding in not getting this second case.
Thank you. Any questions? Jim?
And just to reemphasize what you just said, I mean, these regulations that we've added, we know the Vibrio is in the water. All we're trying to do is to make sure that there's no temperature abuse from the time they come out of the water to the time that they get into to the consumer. And so just running down the list, I mean, for the months of May through September, for the harvest of all the oysters, you can start an hour before sun, and you've got to be back to refrigeration by 10. So whatever you have to do, stop harvesting, whatever, but you go into a refrigerated truck or back to your dock where there's refrigeration at 10. You have to keep shade on your oyster storage area unless you are working with cages and the cages have tops or they're in bags and that serves as your shading. The way to not have to be in by 10, there's only two things that you can do, and that is you can have an approved refrigeration system on your boat or an ice storage area that's approved by the Department of Shellfish Sanitation. Or if you want to work like an aquaculturist or on seaside where we know you have to work around tides, we're giving you the opportunity to have a logbook or a GPS where you have a two-hour window from the time you start harvest, the time that you have to be back at the dock with and then into refrigeration. And these are very strict. They're very serious. But we feel like we've given enough options that for the harvesters that are so dependent on this shucking market that they don't want to lose, that they have things that they can do.
So I understand if you've got an approved refrigeration area on the boat or ice vessel, which I'm not really sure exactly what that means.
Well, that'll get approved by the health department.
That means that you can conduct all day long without... Okay. I want to make sure I was clear on that. Any questions from the commission? Go ahead, Ernie. I'm sorry, Mr. Bowden.
Jim, you mentioned earlier 75 degrees was, or maybe Ron did, was the cutoff point. Well, you know, seldom does it get 75 degrees on seaside before June or July, never in May.
That is true, but if you and Delegate Whitman did a really nice presentation last night that he has it here, but he's on a time constraint. What we see on the cases is that it is a very obvious jump in cases as early as the end of April in April, and it goes all the way through October. And so we're actually giving away April and October in order just to keep it from May to September. But the cases dramatically jump in April, and they're still up in October.
And what we're seeing, though, is, you know, the water temperature right now is 53 degrees, which is unusually cold. I'm not going to tell you it's the norm. It is unusually cold. This time of the year, the water is usually close to 60. So we're probably 7 degrees under. And the only reason we're only 7 degrees under is we've had a few warm days lately. 75 degrees, you drop below that by the second week of September easily on seaside, and maybe before. When I worked on the Chesapeake Bay, it wasn't uncommon in a lot of the creeks for the water temperature hit 85 degrees in the summer. I've seen it many times. I've never seen 80 degrees on seaside in my lifetime.
The flip side of that, though, is in the heat of the day, in the sun, they're harvesting from rocks that are exposed to the direct sun. And just the heating of the oyster themselves is getting them above 75 degrees.
And that alone will significantly raise.
Okay, this is an emergency regulation, Rob. That's correct.
Asking for an emergency regulation.
So we have a public hearing now, then have to advertise and bring it back and have another public hearing next month as well? Or
permanent, yes.
Permanent, okay. I didn't know that we had held public hearings on emergency regulations on the outset. We hold public hearings on the regulation on the second go-around. Am I correct?
Correct.
Well, is there anybody here that wants to be heard on this matter? We're going to have a public hearing again next month to determine if it's Mr. DeMaria. Since you're here on the matter, we'll go ahead and hear from you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, thanks very much for allowing me to speak. Now, I've got something I'd like to hand out to you, and this is just my operation on the oysters that I sold.
Can you give Dr. Wesson and Delegate Whitman one copy they can share amongst?
Let me have one. I need one for myself.
There you go.
This is what I've done in my operation, and I'm just one of many in the state of Virginia. And this depicts on a monthly basis what my oyster sales are for half shell. And these oysters I'm shipping up to New York, Long Island, Florida, Kansas City, Nebraska, just about everywhere. Of course, they get used some here, but mostly go everywhere else. And as you can see from this chart, you can see how my sales increase in May, June, July, and August, and September. So the reason I'm bringing this to your attention is because the way this is being done is really is going to affect our ability to harvest. Currently, my fishermen that catch the oysters, they work till 10:30 every day, and then they come into the harbor, and it takes them an hour to get to Deep Creek with a loaded boat. This particular boat they're using is a small boat, and the reason it's a small boat is because they're working in shallow water. And unfortunately, the beds that I have that are productive are in water that's 3 feet deep at low tide, and the big boats can't get in there. So I feel like the small boats are being discriminated against because they just don't have the adequate size to hold refrigeration or ice. They put 40 bushels of oysters in that boat. They just barely got enough room to shovel it out. So my boat, they knock off at 10:30, and they're in Deep Creek Harbor at 11:30. They shovel the oysters off of their boat into burlap bags and then bring them up to shop. They're at the shop in about 20 minutes. So the way the regulation reads is the boat has to be to the dock. The product has to be in refrigeration at 10 o'clock. So the amount of time that they have, they get to the dock with their small boat, they'd have to leave at 9 to be to the dock at 10, but actually they're going to have to leave earlier than 9 because they have to have time to be able to get that product to my shop, which is 20 minutes. So they'd have to quit working at 8:30. So they start at 6. They'd have 2.5 hours to work instead of the normal 4.5 hours. So my guys, they'll work, there's two men on a boat, they're working 4.5 hours, so there's 9 man hours for them to get that product into the boat. And as I showed you some time ago, I showed you the oysters that are inundated with mussels. So I don't require the guys to take all the mussels off the oysters when they come to me, because if they did, they wouldn't be able to be very productive. So when they get the oysters to my shop, I've got 3 people at work for me that, along with the 2 fishermen that caught it, they're working on a conveyor belt to take all these mussels off, and an additional 10 man hours is put on those oysters to get them ready for the market, which you can see what I sell from what I passed out. So I understand the significance of what the health department is presenting to you and what Jim is presenting to you, that we need to do something to prevent anybody getting sick. I don't want to lose my business, and I don't want the state to suffer either. It's all the same. But the what I'm thinking is maybe for these small boats that don't have room, maybe we could have them where they could go out actually earlier and catch. And our delegate even said that many of the places down south, he didn't say it today, but in past meetings, that there is talk about them working at nighttime or in cover of darkness because it's cooler. I'm thinking that maybe the guys could start a little earlier. That way you could compensate them from the time that you're taking away from them so they can be productive.
I don't think the FDA would look at that very favorably as far as condemned areas and things
Well, I'm not suggesting that anything like that would take place. I'm talking about them working on my oyster ground that they're working right now.
But if we open the door to allow them to start working earlier, sometimes, I mean, FDA is very, very strict to the NSSP about when you can do, what you can do, and we have to certify through a patrol document every year that certain hours are maintained and things like that. So I'm afraid that that would be precluded by those regulations as well.
But if I'm not mistaken, from what I've been told, there have been people permitted to go crabbing earlier than normal. And
due to health issues.
Right. And we've got a health issue right here. You know, why can't we make a difference? I mean, this is what I do for a living. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I'm not having problems. And I'd certainly like to be able to continue this. I've got hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in this business. I manage what I do well. The only thing that I haven't been able to manage is when we have hurricanes, when we lost every oyster that we owned several years ago. Now we got the oysters come back, and I have the opportunity to sell them. And I have good, prudent refrigeration facilities. I have the health department comes and inspects my facility monthly. The FDA comes in there.
John, I think we're in a situation where if we as a commission don't react to this request, and then there is a situation whereby us failing to undertake the advice of the experts, then we would be doing something that would be detrimental to the entire industry. That's where, as a commissioner, I said, I'll leave it up to the commission members, but I fear that's where we are.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, and I concur with that 100%. What I'm suggesting is that we could let the boats leave a little bit earlier, okay, to compensate for the time that we're going to lose from not being able to work as late. And nobody would the suffering that I have, other people in my position have, and the fishermen have would be non-existent. Okay, if crabbers are allowed to go out earlier under certain circumstances, we could do the same thing for some of the oystermen too. That's it.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner, I have another thing. Would they be able to take a smaller vessel like that to a larger vessel once they get to deep water, unload them, go back? You know. That type of thing. So you could have a refrigerated larger vessel as a buy-boat type situation and work past 10:30 then. Okay.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this going out early. Can they leave the dock before an hour before sunup start work it?
What does the regulation allow, Jim? It's a period. Go ahead. There's a time frame that's germane here as well.
For this, we're allowing an hour before, and I think our comfort level doesn't go earlier than that because we're right next to public grounds, we're next to people's private grounds, and we're next to condemned grounds. All those together,
okay.
You just don't want people out working at night.
But they can leave the dock
an hour before.
They can't sunrise. Leave the dock 2 hours before and start working an hour before.
Further questions? Mr. Bowden.
I have one more question. I only see one real problem, even though I've been approached, and I know you have too, probably, from people on the seaside. The problem I see now is May 1st is next week. And if I want to harvest oysters, which I do have oysters, and the tide is not till 11 o'clock, I do not have time to have an approved refrigeration system. even if it is coolered with ice, and you would approve it.
What are you saying? Can we start May 15th instead? I mean, is May 1st etched in stone, Rob, or Delegate Whitmer, can we give it to May 15th?
I mean, I think we need time for people to be able to comply with the regulation, or they won't be able to go.
No, I think that's a fair compromise, particularly since the water's cold.
Yes,
colder,
sir.
Than usual.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You don't see no real problems with that, do you, Delegate Whitmer?
We certainly realize there's a time for folks to gear up. We want to be engaged with them as far as the devices that they have for refrigeration. So
yep. Okay. Matters before the commission for action.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Robbins,
I would move that we adopt staff recommendation with the modifications suggested by Commissioner Bowman that we begin May 15th.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Thank you, Delegate Whitmer. Appreciate it. The next item on the agenda is proposed amendments to Regulation 4, VAC 20-900, pertaining to horseshoe crab.
Yeah.
Lewis, how are you, buddy?
Oh, stiff.
Yep.
Okay. I tried to